Good morning. So good to be with you again, beloved. What a wonderful note that was struck this morning as we began in the presence of the Lord, the love of God. There's nothing like it. There is no one who can adequately explain it. It passes knowledge, as the word says. It passes knowledge. God's love. Someone has said that there's no love like God's love. It is uncaused. There was nothing in us to draw it out. God said to Israel, Moses said to Israel, concerning the love of God, he says, you were not more in number than any other nation. God didn't love you because you were more in number than any other nation. In fact, you were the fewest, but he loved you because he loves you. Wow. He loves you because he loves you. But we're not going to speak on love this morning. Please turn to Colossians in chapter 4. Colossians in chapter 4. Verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. I believe this belongs to the other chapter, and chapter 4 begins here. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that he may know how he ought to answer every man. First of all, it begins with the subject of prayer and Paul's special request. What a request to be made in the condition that he was in. We know from our reading that he was in bonds, he was in prison. And he did not ask the saints to pray for him that he might be delivered out of these chains and the bondage that he was in. Notice his request, not to be delivered, but that a door might be opened. A door might be opened so that he can speak the mysteries, or the mystery of Christ, for which he says, that's the reason I am in bonds. They didn't like the message, so he was imprisoned because they couldn't comprehend how God could bless the Jew and Gentiles and bless the Gentiles as well as the Jews to bring them into his family and afford them eternal life on the same basis as the Jews. They didn't like that. It's impossible. So he was in bonds for that message, that mystery that he proclaimed. What a request, beloved. If you notice that if you are in bonds and you send the request to the saints, what would you ask for? Oh, that I would get out of these chains, that I might be delivered. But he said on another occasion, you can bind me, but the word of the Lord is not bound. And Jesus said, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not the gates of hell, and not the walls or the gates of Nero's prison can prevent the gospel to go forth, the gospel of the grace of God to set free those who are spiritually in chains and bonds. That was his attitude. Is it any wonder then that he said in another epistle, as he sent greetings to the saints, he's sending greetings from all those around him, and those also, those saints also, in Caesar's household. It doesn't matter whether he is in chains or not. His purpose, his desire, was that he would have an open door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. It shows his priorities, beloved. It shows that what he was committed to. It shows that his burden, number one burden in life, was to make Christ known. The bonds and the prison walls notwithstanding. What a drive that this dear man of God had. And you can see this throughout his ministry, that it was not about his safety. That's what he said to the Ephesian elders as he gathered them together there in Acts chapter 20. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem, and I don't know exactly what's going to happen to me, except the Spirit of God has revealed to me that bonds and afflictions await me. But none of these things move me. I am not concerned for my personal safety. My concern, he said, is that I might finish my course with joy. And the message I have, the message of Christ, to bringing mankind to himself, the message that he has laid on my heart, I might be able to make it known. It's not about me. It's not about these bonds. A door might be open. As we look at the open door, beloved, and the opportunities that are given us to communicate the Word of God, I think we can get three things out of this passage as we desire to make Christ known, as we desire to allow the Lord to open doors for us. It's not for us to open doors for ourselves. That could lead the catastrophe when we go around opening doors. But when the Lord opens the door, it is up to us to go through and to be faithful in his service. In verse 3, he says, praying also for us that God would open for us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now the door is open, beloved. It's up to us now to communicate that message. And as we go through God's word, there are three things that are very clear to us in communicating the word of God. It must first of all be in simplicity. When you put other scriptures together, beloved, this is what you'd find. To communicate God's word in simplicity. First of all, it must be simple, it must be plain, it must be clear and intelligible. Too often we get around, we open doors, we advertise ourselves, doors are opened, and we fail to communicate God's word on a level that people can understand. I don't know why everyone wants to be deep rather than being simple. like there's a virtue in being deep. And we got all this complicated stuff And by the time we get around to the simple message, people are lost. It's way over their head. But Paul's attitude in communicating the word of God was first of all in simplicity. When he went to Corinth, for instance, and he could have gotten away with his extensive vocabulary there, and he went to Corinth, he says, I came to communicate the word in simplicity. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is what he says. Verse 1, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching. This is it, beloved. This is communicating the word of God, the mystery of Christ. My speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So all would understand. And beloved, if you're energized by the Spirit of God, you want to communicate the Word of God on a level that all would understand. That's what Peter says in his first epistle, chapter 4. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Communicating God's Word in the way he would have you communicate, in a manner he would have you say it, to the audience he would have you say it. Speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister or serve, let him do it as, don't try to be somebody else, as of the ability which God gives. Why? That God in all things might be glorified. Pray that a door of utterance might be opened. In the early church and among the apostles and disciples in the early church, there were those who didn't want this message to get out. It didn't only happen when Paul came on board. It was happening way back in the very early stages of the church. And the disciples were beaten. Read the book of Acts. They were beaten and they were charged not to preach in Jesus' name. I know a lot of people want to go to functions, want to go to places where they can be exposed and to rub shoulders with the rich and famous and with all those people who are up there, and they would accept invitations and they would say, well, you can come, but you can't speak in Jesus' name. And they still go. And they can't. That's not an open door. Why will you attend a function and you can't speak in Jesus' name? It doesn't make sense for a servant of the Lord. That's not an open door. This is what Peter and John said. You don't want us to speak in Jesus' name? You don't want us to communicate the word? Remember Jesus said? Who gave the command? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was the command of the Lord. Here's the Sanhedrin. Here's the ruler among men saying, you can't do it. I love this portion. I love this portion. Acts chapter 4. You're telling me not to speak? Well, let me tell you this. Acts chapter 4, verse 17. They charged them, they beat them, they charged them, and then they, and to tell them, don't speak in Jesus' name. But verse 17 says, but that it spread no further among the people, let us threaten them that they speak henceforth no more in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Wow. So you have to deny and you have to disobey your Lord. You can't obey the Lord and obey them at the same time. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you be the judge. For we cannot, and this is what I like, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Pray that a door would be opened, that we might communicate the message. The message, the mystery of the gospel. The Jews and Gentiles are coming into the same blessings through Jesus Christ. That's the message that Peter took to the house of Cornelius. And that's the message that Paul was committed to as the apostle to the Gentiles. And that's the message that caused him to be in bonds. He says, don't pray for my deliverance. He didn't ask for that. He asked that a door might be open. A door of utterance might be open. I mentioned simplicity before. I'm just going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19 says, I was in 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 19 says, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's what you're saying earlier on, in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The effect, beloved, the goal of the message that you and I proclaim, it must have the effect of the message that you and I proclaim must have the effect of building up God's people, stirring up God's people, and bounding up those who are bruised. So he said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's not about tongues, you see. It's not about how much you can speak in tongues. Verse 7, he says, of 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to leave this point, and even things without life-giving sound, whether flute or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? You give me a musical instrument and let me entertain you, and you would know that I don't know what I'm doing. You remember, what is he doing? What is he playing? I don't. For if the trumpet given an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? Ask the guys in the service when they have to get up early in the morning to hear that sound. When they have to get up. The enemy is coming. It has a certain sound, a distinctive sound. They know what that call is. So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. There's no need to show you the extent of your vocabulary. It's no need. God is not impressed with that. So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. Nobody understands. It's way over the head of everybody else. Therefore, there are maybe so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying. That's it. The edifying, or the building up of the church, the body of Christ. Simplicity. Keep it simple. Because it's not complicated. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You can't make it any deeper than that. You can make it more complicated, but you can't make it any deeper than that. The other way to communicate this message, not only must it be in simplicity, but it must be sound. It must be sound. It must be solid. It must be profound, beloved. It must be free from error. And we are charged with that. We are charged with this message. And when we proclaim this message, it must be sound. It must be free from error. It must be profound. It must be, thus saith the Lord. And that's what this apostle was about. And he wrote to Titus, and in Titus chapter 2, says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. A lot of you don't like to hear that word doctrine. But let me just change it to a word that you prefer. If you don't like doctrine, how about teaching? We all need to be taught. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Titus 2. Also in verses 7, he says, sound speech. Sound speech. That cannot be condemned. You see, beloved, it's no use to, it won't do us any good, as we say, to beat around the bushes. It won't do us any good to make the message more complicated than it is. His desire, that a door of utterance might be open, and he's the one that's writing these things. He says, I want you to utter sound speech that cannot be condemned. In his last epistle that he wrote to Timothy, he said to him to preach the word. For 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said to him, preach the word. Why is it necessary to preach the word? Because times are changing. He says, the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I don't know if you agree with me, but I believe those times have come. I know people who don't want to submit to the doctrine as it is in God's word, the teaching of God's word. They prefer to hear some novel doctrine, something new. Don't talk to us about the blood. That's not a very pleasant subject. And we are falling for this stuff because we are leaving the blood out of our messages and the churches, if you call them churches, the buildings that are crowded are the buildings where the gospel does not include the blood of Jesus Christ. It does not include salvation by grace through faith. You can always find those places crowded. It's not a church. It's not a gospel. I'm just speaking loosely. It's a message that says you don't need salvation. You don't need that stuff. You don't need to hear that old-fashioned gospel about the blood of Jesus and faith. And you don't want to hear about hell and heaven. You want to hear how good you are. You want to hear how you can improve yourself. You can hear how you can be good to your neighbor. You want to hear how you can show love to others. But you can't. You don't need that stuff. That's for the old time. We're living in modern times. And they come in feeling so sad about themselves and their condition, lost and undone, and they've gone out feeling better about themselves, but still lost. Because they haven't heard the life-changing message that Jesus saves. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The time will come. And if they don't endure some doctrine, guess what? They will give themselves to fables. Fables. And people coming with a little book and telling them a little story of how prosperous they are, and they're buying into it. They don't have the word of God because they don't know what it says. They pick out a few things and maybe a little magic book and say, listen, this is what happened. This is how you can be prosperous. This is how God is going to bless you. People are falling for that stuff. The time will come. They will not endure sound doctrine. Give themselves to fables. You want to hear a story? Come here. We tell you a story. It'll change your life. By the time you leave this place, you can be a multimillionaire. You know that? That's the gospel that they preach. Paul says, Titus, holding fast the faithful word. Those who aspire to leadership among God's people, you got to hold fast the faithful word, that you might be able by sound teaching. That's what it's about, beloved. That door is open. Go through with sound teaching. If doctrine is not important, I wonder why the apostles spend so much time in the pastoral epistles to talk about doctrine. We don't want to hear about doctrine. Tell us about how to love your neighbor. Nothing wrong with loving your neighbor. But you don't have the capacity to love your neighbor as God intended it unless the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. You don't have the capacity to live the Christian life unless you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. He said to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. Sound words, teaching. That's the door he wants opened, because that's the message that he was proclaiming, and that's the message for which he was in bonds. And he mentions this to Timothy also. He says, remember that Jesus Christ, according to the seed of David, he is the son of David according to my gospel. And that's why I'm here, he says. That's why I'm in bonds. Jesus is the Christ. That's what I tell them when they knock at my door. Jesus is God, the Son. Wow. Where did you get that from? from the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They put in a little A there and says, that's what it means. Not to me. They don't get away with that stuff with me, because I really get excited when people come and belittle my Lord. I get a little excited. Don't you belittle my Lord. There were those who were spreading error, even in the days of the apostle, like Hymenaeus and Philetus. They erred from the truth. They were telling the people that the resurrection is past already. And confusing people. That's why it's important for sound doctrine, sound teaching. So when somebody comes to you and says, well, the world is going to end on a certain day, you say, how did you know? You say, well, I just know. But God said, you can't know. But I know. I said, you're a false teacher because you can't know. It's not complicated, beloved. It's really simple. Somebody was corrupting the message that Paul preached to the Galatians, and they were buying into that stuff, these false teachers. Because they loved Paul, you know. Paul brought them the message of deliverance, salvation by grace through faith apart from works. They got it, and then somebody came and corrupted their minds, and then they began to turn against the apostle. And Paul says, when I came first to you, you loved me. You would have taken out your eyes and given them to me. What happened? Am I now become your enemy because I have told you the truth? We're in for a rough ride, beloved, if we stick to the truth, you know that? Because the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. So it must be simple. It must be sound. But this is something, beloved, we need to pay attention to. It must be soothing. Lots of people preaching to God's people, and a lot of God's people, beloved, they have burdens. They need to be comforted. They need a message that would soothe, that would calm, that would comfort, and that would allay. They need to be comforted from the Scriptures. Paul says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So what kind of a door he wanted open? What kind of message he wanted to proclaim? And what spirit did he want to proclaim it? He says, first of all, I want to make manifest as I ought to speak. As I ought to speak. Verse 6. He says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Your speech, it must be, not only must it be simple and sound, but it must be soothing as well. Always with grace. And no one spoke with grace more than our blessed Lord himself. In the synagogue, for instance, when he told them that the scripture written by Isaiah in chapter 61, I think it is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and all that stuff that he fulfilled, you know, deliverance to the captive, giving sight to the blind. He gave them the message, and he told them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in their ears. And then he sat down, and all eyes were fastened on him, waiting for him to speak. And when he spoke, it says, and they all wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Let your speech be always with grace. Grace. Because that's part and parcel of who he is. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So you can say to the woman taken in adultery, "Where are those thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord, neither do I condemn you." That's grace. Go and sin no more. That's truth. Go and sin no more. So then, I go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. I want to just look at that verse 3 there. I'll get there before I finish here. Just verse 3. "He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification." Beloved, the ministry must have this effect on the church. All three elements. Edification, it means to build up. Exhortation, it means to stir up. And comfort, to bound up. That should be the effect of the ministry. "That a door might be opened, that I might speak the mystery of Christ." Speak it at a level where all can understand. Speak it as it is recorded in God's Word by the Spirit of God. And speaking it to the edification, exhortation, and comfort of God's people. I said before, no one had spoke with more grace than our Lord, for he was full of grace and truth. We go to those multitudes on many occasions, and he would speak the word to them. And more than once it would say of him that they were astonished at his doctrine, because he had compassion on the multitudes. For he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And they wondered and they were astonished at the words and the doctrine that he taught. And the effect would be, they would say, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He was not making demands. He was preaching with grace and truth. We know a lot of truth, but we lack the grace. It's not about just being right, beloved. It's not about having all the facts down. It's not about having all the doctrines in place. But it's more about what Paul says to the Ephesians, that speaking the truth in love. That's how we communicate. Soothing, comforting to God's people. You don't have to get up and be combative. You don't have to be. You look at Paul the apostle, and when he was accused of being mad by Festus, as he told them, what he told them? He told them that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and this man got mad and shouted him down, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But Paul, filled with grace and truth, he says, "I am not mad, most noble Festus." What says about a soft answer turneth away wrath? He said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Beloved, if the saints are not comforted, if they're not edified, if they're not exhorted or stirred up, I think we fail. We fail. It's not about being brutally frank, beloved. It's about grace and truth and love. I am not mad, most noble Festus. The man who insulted him, he called him noble. His behavior was anything but noble. But that's grace. That's grace. And they left. And the disciples began to leave the Lord Jesus in droves there in John chapter 6. Because they didn't like what he said about discipleship. They didn't like what he had to say, and he turned to the 12 and he says, "Will you also go away?" Peter spoke, as he often did, not always at the right time, but this time, the right time. On other occasions, Peter spoke well. Peter says to him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, that must have encouraged the others. "We're not going anywhere." Because Jesus said to them, a few verses up, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Soldiers went to apprehend him and to bring him to their superiors in John chapter 7. And they heard him speak of the bread of life that came down from heaven that a man may eat and not die. They got the message and they went back without him. They went back to their superiors and they were questioned, "Why haven't you brought him?" Their response was, "Never a man spoke like this man." Seasoned with salt. Speaking with grace, yet speaking the truth. That's all we have time for. Before I keep you all day, I have to cut it right here. Pray that a door might be open, a door of utterance might be open, that we might speak the mystery of Christ. It's a mystery because it was hidden from before and revealed to the apostle. Jews and Gentiles alike can be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a message. What a message. He says, "That's why I'm in bonds. But don't worry about the bonds. Just pray for an open door." And I believe they kept him in prison all the time. They have a lot of churches in Caesar's household. And wherever he went, for sure in Rome. Let's communicate that message, beloved. Communicate it. Make sure it's sound, because the time will come and they will not endure sound doctrine. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy wondrous love. We thank thee for thy mercies and for thy grace, and we thank thee for thy great salvation. We thank thee for the truth, the body of truth, once and for all delivered to the saints. And that message is committed to us, the message of reconciliation. And our purpose and our charge, our Father, is to beseech men on the behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. We pray that there will be open doors, that all thy servants may proclaim this message. We thank you for the saints. We thank you for the time we spent together around the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and around thy word. Now, as we part the one from the other, Lord, watch over us and take us to respective homes in peace and in safety. guide us by thy counsel, and lead us by thy Holy Spirit. And glorify thyself in us, and give us boldness to proclaim the truth, we humbly pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.